So any verse anybody liked? Anybody that stuck out and then want to read more? Yeah. Well, then we'll do 15, verse 15, if that's okay. Or you had some other... It's okay? We'll do 15. 15, page... that'll be page 109, just after 108. It's a good thing. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol Shyam. Page 109. 109, yeah. 15, verse 15. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tattvam pushana pavrano satya dharmaya drishyate. Translation: O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, 27th verse, the Lord explains that His personal rays, Brahma Jyoti, the dazzling effulgence of His personal form in this way. Brahmanohi pratishtaham, amritasya vayasya cha, sashvatasya dharmascha, sukhasya kanti kasyacha. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagwan are three aspects of the same absolute truth. Brahman is the aspect most easily perceived by the beginner. Paramatma, the Supersoul, is realized by those who have further progressed. And Bhagwan realization is the ultimate realization of the absolute truth. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.7, where the Lord says that He is the ultimate concept of absolute truth. Mataha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. Therefore, Krishna is the source of Brahma Jyoti as well as all-pervading Paramatma. Later in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 42nd verse, Krishna further explains, Atavai bahunaitena kim jnatena tava arjuna vishtabhyaham idam krishnam ekam shena stito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire creation. Thus, by His one plenary expansion, the all-pervading Paramatma, the Lord maintains the complete material cosmic creation. He also maintains all manifestations in spiritual world. Therefore, in His Shruti Mantra of Sri Shopanishad, the Lord is addressed herein as Pushan, the ultimate maintainer. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is always filled with transcendental bliss. Anandamayo bhyasyat. When He was present at Vrindavan in India 5,000 years ago, He always remained in transcendental bliss, even from the beginning of His childhood pastimes. The killing of various demons such as Agha, Baka, Putana and Pralambha were but pleasure excursions for Him. In His village of Vrindavan, He enjoyed Himself with His mother, brother and friends. And when He played the role of a naughty butter thief, all His associates enjoyed celestial bliss by His stealing. The Lord's fame as a butter thief is not reproachable, for by stealing butter, the Lord gave pleasure to His pure devotees. Everything the Lord did in Vrindavan was for the pleasure of His associates there. The Lord created these pastimes to attract the dry speculators and the acrobats of the so-called Hatha Yoga system who wish to find the absolute truth. Of the childhood play between the Lord and His playmates, the cowherd boys, Shukdev Goswami says in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam naradarakena shakham rijahu krita punya punjaha. The personality of Godhead, who is perceived as the impersonal, blissful Brahman by the jnanis, who is worshipped as the Supreme Lord by the devotees in the mood of servitorship, and who is considered an ordinary human being by mundane people, played with the cowherd boys who had attained their position after accumulating many, many pious activities. Any questions, any comments so far? Yes, Nilesh Prabhu had a question.
Yeah, I think this question actually came up in the morning session. What is the destination of those who meditate on Paramatma?
They achieve the seat of Brahmaloka. They achieve the seat of reverential happiness. They are not directly absorbed in the form of the Lord, but they achieve a form of Sukhaishwarya, means reverential happiness.
That five kinds of mukti, one of them is being in the santra. So.
Yes.
Is it same as that? Or?
It's pretty much the same as that.
Okay. So, is it in the Vaikuntha planet or?
No, again, it depends on the destination of, it depends on the advancement of Paramatma feature. To what level do they advance? If they completely realize the Paramatma feature, then they go to Vaikuntha. So here, this is like a small nutshell of Krishna's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada mentions in these few paragraphs that he starts off with the fact that Krishna is the source of Brahman. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, second chapter, that Vadanti Tat Tattvavidas Yijnanamad Vadanti Tat Tattvavidas. Let's read that verse. I mean, why do we have to belabor that? It's right here. It's easy. If you see page shloka book, if you take the shloka book, it's on page 161. Vadanti, that's on the last, that's 1 to 11. Vadanti tat tattva vidas. Tattvam yijnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. So based on one's realization, one can either realize Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. But Bhagavan realization, Bhagavan realization is the absolute realization of the Supreme Lord. Brahman is nothing but the effulgent rays of the Lord. When one sees God in the Brahman, he doesn't see anything of the personal features of God, but he sees bright light, Brahman, Brahma Jyoti. And in this particular verse, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pahitam Mukham, the devotee is praying desperately that, you know, I can't see you or your personal features. Please remove the Brahma Jyoti. Now this Brahma Jyoti is not like a 60 watt bulb wherein you can keep the bulb on, still you can see stuff. Millions and millions of suns, innumerable number of suns, if they come together, then that is somewhat gives an idea of what exactly Brahma Jyoti light is like. It's very, very powerful. You can't see. Because if one sees just one sun, if you see in the morning, if you see the sun, you can't see much. I mean, like it's very powerful. You can just see the rays of the sun. Imagine millions of suns together. That is Brahma Jyoti effulgence of Krishna. So with that, one cannot see the personal features of the Lord. The other aspect of this verse is that if Brahma Jyoti or Brahman realization of Krishna is the ultimate, is the absolute, then why would a devotee pray that, you know, remove your effulgence so that I can see your face? That is because the Lord who is there as Shyam Sundar on his flute, he is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. It's confirmed in many, many places, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, that Krishna, he spoke to Arjuna the whole of Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna was standing right before Arjuna. He says, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Here I am in my personal feature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nobody superior to me. Now, if there are some schools of thought which say actually Krishna is avatar of Vishnu. Yes? Yeah, right. He says Krishna is avatar of Vishnu. And some other places they say that, you know, actually it is the Brahman effulgence that is the absolute truth, you know, attaining Brahman effulgence. But Krishna dispels all those notions. He says, I am right here in front of you. There is no truth superior to me. But, so if I am an incarnation of Vishnu, then Vishnu is superior to me. He is the absolute truth. But I am the source of Vishnu. And it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we read Brahma's prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is one of the key verses. If I don't know if it's available here or not. No. It's Adi Narayana. No, Narayanastvam Nahi. I don't think it's here. That's a very key important verse, which kind of says, if I can get the second, I'll just get the second volume. So this verse is actually easy to remember, the number. It's 10th canto, 14th chapter, 14th verse. Let me just read quickly. So it goes like this. Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atmasya adhishakhila lokasakshi narayanongam narabhujalanayat tachapi satyam natataiva maya. This brief introduction to this chapter is that after we know the story of Brahma Vimohan Rila, wherein Krishna stole, Brahma stole the calves and the friends of the Lord and hid them in a cave for an year. Now, the Lord, he expanded himself into many, many forms of Narayan, and then he simultaneously became the calves and the boy, cowherd boyfriends, and they were exactly the same replica. Now, Brahma's 1 second is the 1 year of our earthly time. And then Brahma, just for a second, he said, okay, let me go and check back what's happened. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. So Brahma's, after a second, he came back, but it's 1 full year on the earthly basis. And then he comes back, he says, oh, well, look, I stole all these calves. Where they are here right now. But I stole the calves and they are there. And he goes back into the cave and he checks. They are all there. And where else here we see Krishna has been for 1 whole year playing with his friends as if nothing has changed. He doesn't miss a beat. Now Brahma is confused. Who are real? Is that real? Or the one in the thing is real? If that is real, how come these boys are playing here? But if these are not real, he is completely confused. And then Brahma, he manifests. At that time, all those calves and boys, they become Narayan. And right in front of him, they all merge into the body of Krishna. And then Krishna is, as usual, he is holding a palmful of rice with yogurt in his hand and he is looking for his boyfriends, exactly like a year before, how he was in that situation. And Brahma is completely humbled and his pride is shattered by this experience. And then he comes, he just offers his obeisance to the Lord, and then he tells all these beautiful prayers. And so one of the prayers is, this is what it is, and then the translation of that prayer is, "Are you not the original Narayan, O Supreme Controller? Since you are the soul of every embodied being, the eternal witness of all created realms, indeed, Lord Narayan is your expansion. And he is called Narayan because he is a generating source of the primeval water of the universe. He is real, not a product of your illusory Maya." Huh? So Brahma, he prays like that. So, of course, it's a big controversial subject amongst those spiritual circles that if Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu or not. And so Chaitanya Charitamrita addresses this controversy. That some people, they say that Krishna incarnated from Vishnu, and some people, they say Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Both the statements are correct. We'll leave it at that. It's hard to figure out. You have to use the mic, Mataji. Thank you.
The Vishnu is Vishnu comes to the Krishna, or Krishna comes to Vishnu?
Both.
But some people are telling that Krishna only comes in Treta, not Draupada Yuga, in Mahabharatam stage. Krishna only told that, Vishnu only told that I'll be coming on this time. It is correct, Prabhuji?
Yeah, so both Chaitanya Charitamrita says both are correct. Okay. Krishna coming from Vishnu, Vishnu coming from Krishna, both are correct because they are one and the same.
Okay.
Incarnation of neither Lord Krishna or Vishnu is incarnation of one another.
Yes, I'll tell you. So, for the linear understanding, let's go this way. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Krishna comes Balaram. From Balaram comes the Chaturvyuha expansions. And from Chaturvyuha expansions, there is one of the Chaturvyuha expansion is Mahavishnu, who is lying on the ocean. From Mahavishnu comes, from Karana comes Garbha Vishnu. From Garbha comes Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So that is the progression. All the universe, all the incarnations in the material world are transformations or incarnations of that Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So in that sense, all the, for example, Vamana, for example, you take Parushuram, for example, these are all incarnations of Vishnu. So Krishna is also an incarnation of Vishnu, but he is also the origin of Vishnu. It works both the ways. So both the statements are true. Yes, Bhanupu.
Prabhuji, it's said that when Sri Krishna appeared on this planet, he came in his original form. He appeared to he wasn't born like an ordinary child.
Mm.
He was, he appeared in his original form.
Mm.
And the texts indicate the original form as a four-armed form. And then both Devaki and Vasudeva worship the Lord and say, please, become a baby, two-armed form. So that's when the Lord becomes a, takes a two-armed form as a baby. So here's the confusion, even though you've addressed it just a while back, saying that both Vishnu and Krishna are the same. But when the texts say that the Lord appeared in his original form, and original form appears to be a four-armed form, that's where the confusion is,
Nice.
If the original form is four-armed, then is Krishna the two-armed form of Vishnu, Krishna? Is he the original?
So there are two ways of looking at two answers to that question. The first answer is Deepar Chirevahi Dashantaram Abhyupetya. It's said in Brahma Samhita, Deepayate Vivrita Hetu Samana Dharma. Yastagra Evahicha Vishnu Taya Vibhati Govinda Madhi Purusham. The gist of that particular verse is that one candle, when it lights another candle, so which is original? I mean, there is the original candle which lighted other candle. But the other candles are also equally powerful as original. So in that sense, all of them are original. It's no difference. The deeper meaning or the deeper answer to that question is that Devaki and Vasudev, they worship the Lord in Aishwarya, in awe and opulence. And the awe and opulence form of the Lord is Vishnu. So he appeared to them in that particular form. He never showed his Vishnu form to Yashoda Mata, because Yashoda Mata was completely in the Vatsalya Bhav, Vatsalya Ras. And she saw Lord as her child, that's all. She never thought Lord as Vishnu. So there was a difference in the approach. So Yashoda and Vasudeva and Devaki, they saw the Lord as like opulent person. They worshipped the Lord as an opulent person. Lord revealed to them accordingly. That's four-armed form of Vishnu. Whereas Mother Yashoda was a premi bhakta, completely on a much higher level of loving Krishna. And that's for it is said in the 10th canto, 8th chapter, 45th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Traya chopa nishadadibis, Sankhya yogaika sattvatai, Upagiya mana mahatyam, Harim samanya tatmacham. Srila Vishnachakrati Thakur says, this is a Paribhasha Sutra. This is like the basic sutra against which others are measured. And actually that verse, if it literally translated, it goes like this. All these Vedas, Traya chopa nishadadibis, all these three Vedas, Upanishads, and all these Pancharatra and other Shastras, they are worshipping the Supreme, personified, they are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas, Mother Yashoda thought that same Lord to be an ordinary child. So it implicitly it seems as if Mother Yashoda doesn't even know the value of her own son. Right? So, but it's like, everybody's saying, oh, this is a beautiful jewel. I mean, this is like millions and millions of dollars. And somebody is using it as a paperweight. Or like, you know, using it as a ball. Or something like that. But the deeper meaning to that verse is that because Yashoda is so much in the premi, in the prema stage that she sees the Lord as her own child, the Lord revealed to her as only that beautiful child, two-handed form Krishna, praying his mischief in Vrindavan. So that is a deeper explanation to that particular verse. That's what Acharyas say, that this is what happened. That's why like they show that. Thank you. And Mati. Can you speak in mic, Mataji?
Sorry. So you're saying that Krishna is coming from Vishnu also. So is this Gokula Krishna coming from Vishnu or is Goloka Krishna?
They are one and the same, Mataji. In that strict sense, they are one and the same. So if you want like a deep explanation for these particular aspects of the Lord, then there is a book called Laghu Bhagavatamrita, written by Srila Rupa Goswami, and it's been translated by Bhanu Maharaj. So in that, all the expansions of the Lord are clearly said. You know, when the Lord expands as Himself, for example, when He was in Dwarka, He expanded Himself into 16,000 forms. It was the exact same Krishna, the same thing. So it is one form of the Lord. There are so many different incarnations and expansions. So it's not like a linear thing. Our thing is like, you know, the Lord comes, it's one-to-one linear. No, Krishna can simultaneously expand, simultaneously. This is completely dynamic. It's hard to understand. But that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita Kaviraj Goswami doesn't address this. He doesn't go into deep explanations of why this happens. He says, some people say Krishna comes from Vishnu, some people say Vishnu comes from Krishna. Both of them are same, which is correct. And also, Srila Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there is no difference between Vishnu and Krishna. They are one and the same. But for the sake of rasa, Krishna is superior because he has the exchange of rasa which Vishnu does not. He doesn't like go and... So that's the reason he's a little superior. So... Does that little bit answer? Because I don't have an exact answer to your question, like which exact form of Krishna goes, or which, because it's one and the same Lord. And when Krishna appears, it is said that all the forms of Vishnu, they merge in him, and the Supreme Absolute Truth appears. It is. Any other questions? We can probably do Laghu Bhagavatamrita. I can try to see if I can get a proper answer to your question. All right. Thank you, Mat. I know. Okay. So your question is... Your question is that, so which... Can you repeat that just for my clarification? Something like that here. Krishna? Yeah.
So maybe is it that this Krishna coming from Vishnu in Gokula is coming from Vishnu and not although he's the same as Goloka Krishna, he's coming from Vishnu as an expansion? Is that the answer? Or?
Well, I'm confused by your question, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. But the thing is, this is this. So Krishna never steps out of... Let's talk to the first statement.
Yeah.
He never steps a foot out of Vrindavan.
Right.
But apparently he did. Apparently it seems that he left.
Passing, yes.
Right? He left. And then gopis... Yeah, because after that in Radharani and others, they were daily crying for seeing Krishna. So in that sense, he never left Krishna because he was bound up in their hearts. So, but he did leave, apparently. And then he came back later, apparently, to Vrindavan. So, we can take it offline, Matsji.
So, we don't have to take it literally when the statement is that he never steps foot.
Correct. But he's always there, but he's still out of Vrindavan. It's same thing like in Isopanishad, we read that he's inside of everything, he's outside of everything. He walks, he does not walk. Same thing, he is in Vrindavan, yet he is outside of Vrindavan. But his form or his heart is always in Vrindavan, and he stays in Vrindavan, he doesn't go. But having said that, let me see if I can get a better answer for you, or if there is any specific exact answer to your question.
Okay, that would be helpful.
All right, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
No. I'm sorry. I can't give you the perfect answer.
It's very complicated. I've also wondered. It's very complicated. But it's good to. I should ask.
Yeah. Food for thought.
Then I may understand
something. Right. So, we'll move on with the Isopanishad. I think we have at least we'll do Bhagavad Gita verse today. For last 3-4 weeks, we have been like, you know, with Isopanishad. We didn't even complete the Isopanishad. So we'll try to. Little bit. All right. So we are on page 112. Actually, you know, you're perfect. Your question is perfect. We'll read that. 112. It's second paragraph from the top. Thus the Lord is engaged in transcendental loving activities with his spiritual associates in the various relationships of shanta, neutrality, dasya, servitorship, sakya, friendship, vatsalya, parental affection, and madhurya, conjugal love. Since it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavan Dham, one may ask how he manages the affair of creation. This is answered in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, 14th through 18th verses. The Lord pervades the entire material creation by His plenary part known as Paramatma or Super Soul. Although the Lord personally has nothing to do with material creation, maintenance and destruction, He causes all these things to be done by His plenary expansion, the Paramatma. Every living entity known as Atma or Soul and the principal Atma who controls them all is Paramatma or Super Soul, the Super Soul. This system of God realization is a great science. The materialistic Sankhya yogis can only analyze and meditate on the 24 factors of material creation, for they have very little information of the Purusha, the Lord. And the impersonal transcendentalists are simply bewildered by the glaring effulgence of Brahma Jyoti. If one wants to see the absolute truth in full, one has to penetrate beyond the 24 material elements and the glaring effulgence as well. Sri Ishopanishad points towards this direction, praying for the removal of the Hiranmaya Patra, the dazzling covering of the Lord. Unless this covering is removed, so one can perceive the real face of the personality of Godhead. Factual realization of the absolute truth can never be achieved. The Paramatma feature of the personality of Godhead is one of the three plenary expansions or Vishnu Tattvas, collectively known as Purushavataras. One of these Vishnu Tattvas, who is within the universe, is known as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. He is the Vishnu among the three principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. And he is the all-pervading Paramatma in each and every individual living entity. The second Vishnu Tattva within the universe is the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the collective super soul of all living entities. Beyond the two is Karanodakshaya Vishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. He is the creator of all universes. The yoga system teaches the serious student to meet the Vishnu Tattvas after going beyond the 24 material elements of cosmic creation. The culture of empiric philosophy helps one to realize the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, which is the glaring effulgence of the transcendental body of Lord Sri Krishna. The Brahma Jyoti is Krishna's effulgence is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.27 as well as Brahma Samhita 5.40. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti, koti swashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam, tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam, govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. In the millions and millions of universes, there are innumerable planets, and each and every one of them is different from the others by his cosmic constitution. All of these planets are situated in the corner of Brahma Jyoti. This Brahma Jyoti is but the personal rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom I worship. This mantra from Brahma Samhita is spoken from the platform of factual realization of the Absolute Truth, and the Shruti Mantra of Ishopanishad under discussion confirms this mantra as the process of realization. The Ishopanishad mantra is a simple prayer to the Lord to remove the Brahma Jyoti so that one can see His real face. This Brahma Jyoti effulgence is described in detail in several mantras of Mundaka Upanishad 2-10-12. Hiranmaye pare koshe virajam brahma nishkalam tachubram jyotishyam jyotis tadyad atma vido viduhu na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam Nema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasha sarvam idam vibhati brahmai vedam amritam purastad brahma paschad brahma dakshinatas chotarena adas chordvam cha prashritam brahmai vedam vishvam idam varishtam. In the spiritual realm, beyond the material covering is unlimited Brahman effulgence, which is free from material contamination. That effulgent white light is understood by the transcendentalists to be the light of all lights. In that realm, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire, or electricity for illumination. Indeed, whatever illumination appears in the material world is only a reflection of that supreme illumination. That Brahman is in the front and in the back, and in the north, south, east, and west, and also overhead and below. In other words, that supreme Brahman effulgence spreads throughout the material and spiritual skies. Questions? Comments? All right, let's Oh, you have a question. Okay.
The all light is coming from Brahman effulgence, right? Even the sun also obtains whatever we see as a light is coming from Brahman effulgence, right?
Well, Krishna says, "I am the light of sun and moon" in Gita. Right. So, and many places he says, yachakshureshu savita sakala grahana, that the sun is the eye of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Krishna says he is the source of the light. Whether he says it in the form of Brahmajyoti, Paramatma or Bhagwan, right? But he is the source of the light. Make sense? Okay. Okay, we'll last two paragraph and then we can. Okay. So did we do paragraph second on page 115 or no? We did the last. Okay. The conclusion is that yes.
Okay.
No, light. All light.
All light. Not persons or... I thought he was asking...
No, light. The conclusion is that one who has no knowledge of the potencies of the Supreme Truth will realize the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, when one realizes the material potencies of the Lord, but has little or no information about the spiritual potencies, he attains Paramatma realization. Thus, both Brahman and Paramatma realization of the Absolute Truth are partial realizations. However, when one realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna in full potency, after the removal of Hiranmaya Patra, one realizes Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Lord Sri Krishna, who is known as Vasudeva, is everything, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. He is Bhagavan, the root, and Brahman and Paramatma are his branches. In the Bhagavad Gita 646 through 647, there is a comparative analysis of three types of transcendentalists: the worshippers of impersonal Brahman, jnanis; the worshippers of Paramatma features, yogi; and the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, bhaktas. It is stated that there are jnanis who have cultivated Vedic knowledge, are better than ordinary fruitive workers, and the yogis are still greater than jnanis. And amongst all the yogis, those who constantly serve the Lord with all their energies are the topmost. In summary, a philosopher is better than a laboring man, a mystic is superior to a philosopher, and of all the mystic yogis, he who follows bhakti yoga, constantly engaging in the service of the Lord, is the highest. Sri Ishopanishad directs us towards this perfection. Kijay.